Now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. You are listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. I'm your host, Bill Frank, here on KKZZ Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is Candid Conversations. Each of my segments will address a critical topic, whether it's communicating, politics, or gold. My next segment is a call-in segment. Several listeners have requested this. I'm going to open up the mic and let callers express whatever's on their mind. We'll take all the topics that you want to tackle. And to call in, the number is 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. And that's the same number that you'll use to win four sandwiches or four salads from Urbane Cafe. Two locations to serve you, 4350 Telephone Road in the Barnes & Noble Plaza in Ventura, as well as 1730 East Gonzales Road in Oxnard, the intersection of Rose and Oxnard. Be the third caller at 639-0008, and four sandwiches or four salads can be yours for Urbane Cafe. And remember, if you call in to win the sandwich, you don't have to go on the air if you don't want to go on the air. Now, this next segment is a call-in segment, and several listeners have requested it. So it's called What's on Your Mind, Ventura County. It's a new segment each Tuesday where you turn the tables on me. Instead of interviewing a guest, you call in and interview me with whatever's on your mind. Remember, the number is 639-0008. Call in and share whatever's on your mind. We'll talk about national, international, statewide, or local topics. I just want to hear from you. What's going on right now with you? Call in and share it. What's got you puzzled or frustrated? Call in and share that too. No topic is off limits. If you're a regular listener, you know I address a wide range of subjects on the show. That's because you want to learn more about the world around you. Now's the time to call in and discuss these topics in more detail. The number is 639-0008. The first topic that I want to talk about today is the Freeney lawsuit. Now, for those of you who don't know, Robert and Linda Freeney are demanding $1.8 million in damages from the city of Ventura for a failed senior housing project at the end of Telegraph Road. The Freeneys are suing five members of the Ventura City Council for fraudulently misleading them before rejecting the project. The project has taken 5 years to this point, to the point where it was rejected. The Freeneys have submitted and resubmitted 18 sets of plans for their three-story senior living project. Their proposal won approval by the City Planning Commission and the City Design Review Commission. And it was overturned by the City Council, however, because some local neighbors complained to the council. So my first question to you, if you're a listener, is should a city council be both a governance board and a city housing planner? That's a question that you might want to ask yourself if you live in Ventura. Only two current members of the Ventura City Council are architects or city planners. That's two out of six. That is a whopping one-third. Is it fair or is it even proper to ask the city council members, who are only paid $700 a month for their duties, to take on the dual responsibility of governance and city planning? Call in 639-0008 and voice your opinion if you've got one. The next question that you want to ask is, what good is the Design Review Committee, the DRC for short, or the City Planning Commission if the City Council will overturn their decision based on a handful of complaints? I mean, theoretically, the DRC members and the City Planning Commission members are more involved in city ordinances, design, and planning than any of the City Council members on a daily basis. So why would the City Council want to overturn the experts in this matter? If their opinion and their procedures that they represent are so flawed, why have the procedures at all? Why not change the procedures if there's a flaw where the City Council is going to overturn it? What spineless city council member overturned years of work simply because of the complaint of two families? Those two families are also named in the lawsuit. Didn't the families have numerous chances to complain about the plans? Didn't they have numerous chances to voice their concern over the handling of the Design Review Committee or city planning meetings, of which there were 18 different versions? Why did they wait until the last minute to complain to the city council? Don't get me wrong, I am all for responsible citizen input into the governmental process. Follow the process, follow the procedures. Voice your opinions at the correct times, And remember, for this project over 5 years, there were at least 18 different times where these neighbors could have voiced their opinion about it. Don't hijack a project at the very last minute, as was done in the case of the Freenies. Regular listeners know that I have expressed concerns over Ventura building practices in the past. Ventura is considered a business-unfriendly city. Ventura is considered anti-building, anti-growth. But, as I've tried to point out, the city is also mercurial and irrational. City planning procedures are questionable. Remember, city inspectors signed off on a housing project for City Councilwoman Christy Weir, she was not City Councilwoman at the time, under the false pretense or the false assumption, and no action was taken by the City Council or to investigate this. When will the citizens of Ventura grow a backbone and confront the City Council on this particular issue of growth and responsible building in the city? Force the city administration to evaluate or modify their current practices? Exercise your right to influence the government, make things happen, and stop feeling like a victim, or stop complaining? Now, in the end, this lawsuit will fail. Ventura has legal provisions to prevent any citizen from suing City Council members or the administration. Perhaps, just perhaps, some good will come of this, however, if people stop taking the city's schizophrenia passively and force some changes. If you've got an opinion about this, call in 639-0008 and I'd love to hear from you. Did you know that my interviews are now available on Apple iTunes? Go to the Apple iTunes store, type in Billy the Brain in the search dialog box, select the heading or the topic of podcasts, and download my interviews for free. Take me with you wherever you go on your iPod, your iPhone, or your iPad. We do have a winner for the sandwiches, so thank you. For those of you who called in to win, thank you for calling in and being regular listeners. There will be more giveaways in the future as well. Next topic. Ben Bernanke, the chairman of the Federal Reserve Board, seals the fate for President Obama. He has virtually assured that President Obama will not be reelected in the next campaign. Now, stay with me on this one. This one's a little bit hard to follow, but you will see the logic in just a minute. Ben Bernanke, in two sequential meetings of the Federal Reserve Board, made two monumental announcements. The most recent one at this last board meeting that was convened last week was the fact that he was going to flatten the yield curves for the 2-year and the 30-year bonds. He was going to do that through a series of purchases and acquisitions. It doesn't matter. What he was trying to do was maintain the 2-year bond yield to be approximately the same as the 30-year bond yield. Now, why is that important? Well, it's important because banks with that kind of a yield curve have absolutely no chance of making money, even if they can borrow that money at 0% from the Federal Reserve itself. There's little opportunity for them to make money. And if the banks don't make money, then this economy is not going to turn around. Furthermore, in the meeting before this last meeting, Chairman Bernanke announced that he would hold interest rates constant for a several-year period, which also means that there's little chance of an economic recovery. So the economy has little chance of recovery. Is this going to be a bitter pill to swallow? Perhaps. Is it a necessary step? Most definitely this is necessary. However, is it going to be damaging to President Obama's chances of re-election? Absolutely. Definitely. Democratic political pundits say the economy matters little because the Republicans don't have a candidate that have a chance of defeating President Barack Obama in the fall. The Democrats fail to remember, however, that Barack Obama was elected on the promise of hope and change. He was a relative unknown when he ran. The Republicans have the same opportunity to hijack hope and change as it pertains to the economy and defeat President Obama in the next election. President Obama would do well to remember what another Democratic presidential candidate said when he was running for office. It's the economy, stupid. And that is so true today. We've got a caller, Gerald from Santa Paula. Hi, Gerald. How are you today?
Good morning, Bill.
Well, good morning, and thank you for being a loyal listener. What's on your mind?
My pleasure. I was just going back to your first topic there.
Okay.
Regarding the kind of conflict between the city council and the planning processes.
Sure. What's on your mind?
Well, I just think that it's an example of kind of a disappointing thing that you see often, where there's things just get so big and so convoluted that the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing, or they don't have like a unified set of standards or purposes. I don't know the the exact timing or sequence of when the people's complaints came in, if they had, it's possible that, that they came in later in the process where they didn't have a chance to voice it earlier, but you know, assuming it's just a normal thing, it just seems disappointing that things can go through that many hoops and then be turned away at the very, very end.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more on this, Gerald. It is very disappointing. Remember, this has been a five-year endeavor. So this started back in 2006, long before there was any downturn in the economy. And there have been 18 chances for people to review the plans because the plans had to be resubmitted 18 different times over a five-year period. And when the neighbors voiced their opinion, it was in the very final year. In fact, it was just recently in the year 2011 that they voiced their opinion, their concern, and their objections to the housing project. And it was this year, 2011, in which the Ventura City Council overturned the Design Review Committee and the City Planning Commission in order to deny that project. Now, they denied it without prejudice, which means that the Freenies can resubmit the plans.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that would mean 19 times that they've resubmitted the plans. Plus, each time the plans are submitted, and Gerald, I know you know this, there's a cost associated. It's tens of thousands of dollars to get an architect to redesign, redraw the plans, plus the filing fees that they have to file, that they have to pay in order to submit these plans again. So no matter how you look at it, if the Freenies wanted to move forward with this a 19th time, it would end up costing them more money. Needless to say, it's cost them enough time and energy to this point that they have felt there's no recourse but to try to sue the city council.
There is some of the things like this strike me so much as being similar to this kind of a very frustrating childhood game that was played in grade school and things, the Mother May I game.
Where
Mother May I take two steps forward and completely arbitrarily it's decided, no, you may take one step forward, or no, you might have to take two steps backwards, and no rhyme or reason to it that kind of defies logic.
Well, that's a perfect analogy. I hadn't thought of it that way, Gerald, but that really describes what's going on here. One step forward, two steps back. That certainly seems to be the case when it comes to Ventura and when it comes to planning and growth in the city. Gerald, do you have any other thoughts?
No, that was it. I just wanted to express support. I don't necessarily agree with everything I don't necessarily agree with all of your opinions on everything, but I sure do on this one.
All right. Well, Gerald, I do appreciate that. And what's more, I appreciate you being a loyal listener and calling in. Thanks so much for doing that.
And you do a great job.
Thank you. Oh, thanks so much. All right, another topic, and this is a fun topic. Remember, you can call in at any time, 639-0008, and you can express your opinion just like Gerald did. Remember, too, that you can hear all of my interviews up on my website, brainstormingonline.com. That's where I keep the recorded interviews. Plus, I keep notes of every interview that I do. If you listen to the interviews and you read the notes, you get a glimpse into the workings of the brain of Billy the Brain. All of that can be found on my website, brainstorming, S-T-O-R-M-I-N, online.com. Third subject, and this is a fun subject, it's the Boeing 787 Dreamliner. Boeing announced yesterday and delivered yesterday the first 787 Dreamliner to all Nippon Airways. The original delivery date for that Dreamliner was set for 2008. It was delayed for 3 years because of manufacturing delays that caused it to be late. Still, the 787 is a reminder that the United States is the manufacturing giant in the world. We manufacture Boeing airplanes. We manufacture Caterpillar tractors and earth movers, things like that, that other countries need to build their infrastructure. We build jet airplanes, wind turbines with GE. Even our auto manufacturers, as beleaguered as they are still among some of the greatest manufacturers in the world. So the United States remains the greatest manufacturing country in the world, despite the rhetoric that you hear about China. The question is, though, is this Boeing 787, is this going to be a game changer in the airline industry? Now, battle lines are drawn between the two major competitors, Boeing and its rival, Airbus. Boeing took the tack that it was going to build lighter, fuel-efficient airplanes using composite materials. Airbus decided that it was going to take a different approach. It was going to build giant superliners for transatlantic and transpacific flights. The Airbus A380 is an example of this. It's a double-decker airplane. It's capable of carrying over 500 passengers, depending on the configuration. And one of the very first 380 Airbuses was in Los Angeles just a couple of years ago, just to test out the runways and see if it would work at that airport. But can you identify any problems with the A380? Well, first of all, most airports aren't equipped to load and unload a double-decker airplane. So that's going to be a problem just by itself. But think about your own experience. If you've ever traveled by airplane and you've gotten to your destination, how long does it take to board or deplane a conventional jet? Now, most jets carry between 125 and 175 passengers. The Airbus A380 is 4 to 5 times larger. So imagine getting off an airplane as large as the A380 after a 17-hour flight. By the way, if you're interested, this is a little bit of trivia for you. The current boarding process to get on an airplane is very inefficient. Right now, you either board by seat number or you board by a section. Southwest sort of pioneered the open seating idea. But these are not the best ways to board an airplane. Call in if you know the best way to get on an airplane. There is a scientific method behind that, and I'll give you the answer here at the end of this particular segment. So Boeing went on with a different approach. They wanted the more fuel-efficient airplanes. They used composite materials to make the planes. They're between 20 and 30% more fuel-efficient. And today, that's important. With the price of jet fuel being as high as it is, jet fuel now comprises 50% of an airline's operating cost. So, will this be a game changer? Will Boeing sell more airplanes? Maybe. Will airplanes be more efficient? Clearly, they have to be. Will airplanes and airlines be a good investment for investors? Nope, they never have been, and they never will be. Will this make travel more affordable? Well, we'll see about that. Got another caller, Rick from Newberry Park. Rick, how are you doing today?
Hello.
Hi, Rick, you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, thanks for being a loyal listener. What's on your mind?
You bet. A couple of things. I think this is just a great topic. I love this Tuesday morning call-in program.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. I tell you what, you know, this, and I live in East County over in the Thousand Oaks, Kaneo area, but as far as you're speaking about this program going on as far as the building in Ventura,
mm-hmm.
the city of Ventura,
yes,
you know, this isn't even a city council issue, in my opinion. The constituents in the last, you know, fourth quarter are not even constituents. The local neighbors are now complaining, and they've had years to talk about their issues, and the developers the owners, they've jumped through all the hoops, and as you have said, they've gone through how many drawings?
They've gone through 18 drafts to this point.
Yes, with extensive investment involved as well.
Yes, every time. It's $10,000 to $20,000 per
agreed.
Submission.
Agreed, and I hope the city council... I hope they refer this back to building and development, and I hope they don't crumble under some constituents' complaints.
Well,
they've had years to do this.
They've already caved, but remember, they caved without prejudice, which means that the Freenies can resubmit.
I understand.
Yeah.
And at the same time, this is not only the city of Ventura, and because this, in our entire county, over here in Thousand Oaks, we're going through the Thousand Oaks Hooters restaurant.
Yes.
A program that, and they've asked two different meetings to hear what the neighbors say, and the neighbors, what are they going to do? I mean, these people have invested significant amount of money to do this development, and everybody says this is a family community. We don't want a Hooters, and you know it's not appropriate. This is family values, but at the same time, previously it was a Sizzler's steakhouse,
mm-hmm.
then it was a pizza place, and then it was a sandwich place. And if they can't support a Sizzler steakhouse, or, you know, my position is let this Thousand Oaks Hooters come in, invest all their money, have some employees, and they're going to shut their doors in 18 months. Simply because people won't support it. If they can't support a Sizzler, they can't support a Hooters.
Well, now that is an interesting one. Rick, that's a great topic. I'm going to take that up in one of my future episodes because I like this topic and I think we could get some real traction around it. So hold on to those thoughts. Call in. I'll be doing this in one of my future Tuesday shows. Thank you, Rick, for being a regular listener and for calling as well.
Be well.
All right. Thanks so much. And for those of you that are interested in the trivia of how you get on and off an airplane better and faster than you do today, here's the answer to that. If you were to get on an airplane, not by row, not by seat number, but by assigned seat, whether it's window, aisle, or middle, that will speed it up. Now, here's the trick. You can't just let all of the windows go on at the same time or all of the middles go on at the same time. You start with the windows and you alternate rows. And the reason that you alternate rows is so that you don't have any conflicts with people putting their luggage into the overhead bins. So the odd number of window seats, then the even number of window seats, odd number of middle seats, even number of middle seats, odd number of aisle seats, even number of aisle seats. That gets you on the plane faster than anything else. So those are the trivia, and that's the trivia answer for today. Big